Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. Jenny Lewis has landed on Rolling Stone magazine's top 50 albums of 2019 so far, with her first album in 5 years, On the Line. On the Line brings another layer to her smart, often personal storytelling. Now, Lewis started her career as an actor, a child actor. She had commercial and movie roles followed. She worked with everyone from Lucille Ball to Fred Savage. Lewis shifted to a musical career, and she was a founding member of the indie rock band Rilo Kiley. She provided backup vocals for the group Postal Service. In her solo career, she's released several solo albums, including the latest. Here's a clip from the title song, On the Line. Jenny Lewis is in our studio to walk and talk us through her new album. It's our very own All of It listening party with Jenny Lewis. Welcome.
Hello.
I'm not sure I can count. Four albums or five?
Oh, gosh. I'm not. I'm more of a words guy than a numbers gal.
That kind of girl. On your liner notes, it says about the song On the Line, this is an important song for me. How so?
Well, it set the tone for the record. And in finding an album, for me, it begins with songs, and I don't often know what the theme is until I get to the end. Mm-hmm. So this was one of the later tracks that I wrote, and it sort of encapsulated the vibe.
So where and when did you write this record? Over what period of time?
I wrote it over a 3 or 4 year period. I had just gotten out of a 12-year relationship living in Los Angeles, and I left for New York and stayed at a friend's apartment in the East Village, like a 5-floor walk-up, and just kind of began the process walking up and down those stairs.
We know that. You can have a lot of thoughts walking up and down stairs.
Yeah.
In New York City. No, I'm serious. Like the idea of going from the street to where you're going to spend the rest of your time, you can have sort of when you process stuff.
And the movement is conducive to, like, you know, dislodging the ideas. And there's so much input in New York. I would just put on my headphones and just cruise.
Are you someone who keeps a notepad and then scribbles down things that come to you? Or do you need to just sit and really sort of focus on something and, like, this is my working time?
I'm a voice notes addict. And I have thousands of little fragments of ideas. And then I'll find a little strip of paper. I've been known as the barf bag poet, because on the airplane, that's what, for some reason, I always get ideas, and I'm like, where's the closest piece of paper that I can scribble something down on?
That is so, everybody knows exactly what you mean when you said that, the barf bag poet.
Ay, ay, ay.
You gotta write notes, you gotta get it when you're in the moment, or else it can just float away from you.
But sometimes if it's good enough, then you remember it. If you don't get it down.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm always kind of carving words in my mind, you know, like kind of working on the story and editing and forever revising.
Does track order make a difference to you as you're putting together?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's so important. Well, I really care about the album form. The LP is important to me. And right now, and maybe in the future, I'll, you know, put out a bunch of singles, which is also exciting, not having to link things together. But in this form, the order is something that I mean, it drives me crazy. I actually sent this record when it was done to my friend Ben Gibbard, who I play in the Postal Service with. I send him all of my solo albums, and I have him put it in an order for me.
Oh, why is he a good curator?
He's just good at everything. And we've been friends for 20 years, and he can be, there's an objectivity there.
Mm-hmm.
He can be objective.
But he knows you well.
But he knows me well. And I don't always follow it, but it helps me kind of come to.
My guest is Jenny Lewis. We're talking about her process and her new album, On the Line. A lot of the reviews have said this is a different sound for you, a different kind of work. Do you agree? Is this a different sound, a different vibe for you? Or is this just the evolution of Jenny?
I think the latter. I mean, I just write and make songs and music, and it's just kind of following my life in a way, the work. It's parallel. So it doesn't feel, you know, these songs started on a piano or a guitar. It's a singer-songwriter record. So, you know, maybe it sounds a little different, but it's kind of coming from the same place.
Well, let's go through a couple of tracks. We promised a listening party. We're going to take a look at the, listen, I should say, to the first track, Heads Gonna Roll. Why do we start with this track?
This sets the stage. This tells the story, and it's in three parts. And there's a line about bookends, which I think kind of tells the whole story. It's not a breakup record. It's a rebound record.
Well, let's take a listen to Heads Gonna Roll from Jenny Lewis.
And he took me to a graveyard. I thought he'd kill me there. And he kissed me on the corner while the nuns of Harlem stayed. Oh.
There's such specificity in your lyrics in this song. Why did you opt for such specific lyrics? Sometimes people write songs that are sort of have broader themes. This one is so specific.
The devil's in the details. For me, mm-hmm. as a listener, or you know, when I'm reading a short story, it's always the details that get me. I'm not as interested in platitudes, mm-hmm. which sometimes it's important to say I love you in a song, or I'm sorry, or whatever it is, you know, like... Use the word blue because it just sings really well. But for me, just those little details that make it a little different.
And did the details, do they have to be factual or can they come from your imagination when you're writing really personal music?
I think it's a combination of both. That line we heard, the Nuns of Harlem, that's from real life.
Oh, tell me about that.
Yeah, I met a priest backstage at a Dead & Co show at Madison Square Gardens. And I had just moved to New York. This is a true story. And I think he has a radio show, a Grateful Dead sort of, or a music radio show. And I told him that I had just moved to town and I was a little lost and I wanted to do some service work. And we struck up this conversation about music. And he said, hey, well, I'll hook you up with the nuns in Harlem, in East Harlem. And you can go up there and, you know. And so he gave me a phone number and I called. And I would just go up. I went up a couple times and it just really kind of set the tone for my New York experience.
What was it internally that made you want to do service work?
Well, I think when you're feeling lost in the world, it's kind of the best way, to, you know, is to connect and kind of get out of your own head about it and open your eyes and help out if you can. Not that I did any great, you know, I just went up there and hung out and helped, you know, put food packages together. But in those moments, I was like, okay, everything's cool.
That's doing something, though.
Yeah.
I met a priest backstage at a Dead & Go. That's another great line, I think, for you.
But the randomness of life is really incredible when you're open to it.
That it is. My guest is Jenny Lewis. We're talking about her new album, On the Line. Let's take another listen to another track. This is called Party Clown.
Can you be my puzzle piece, baby? When I cry like Meryl Streep.
What does it mean to cry like Meryl Streep?
Well, you know what that means. We've seen her cry. That's like that's a real cry.
So the real thing, the ugly cry. She's not always ugly when she cries, but that like deep, it's coming from the gut kind of cry.
Yeah, when Meryl Streep cries, we believe it every time.
Were you crying a lot during writing this?
Sure. I cry a lot. I'm a redhead. I'm very sensitive. When I play shows, I'm covered in like goosebumps the whole time. I just feel like because I'm like inflamed. Red means I'm inflamed.
Does it take you, I mean, do you cry at happy stuff? Do you cry at sad stuff? Do you cry at
yes.
babies? I mean, what does it take?
But all of the above.
Do you feel vulnerable when you cry? Some people don't like to cry in public, especially a lot of women don't like to cry in public.
Yeah, I do. And sometimes I try to choke it back.
I don't think you can ever completely choke back a cry.
But that, getting back to just like great acting, mm-hmm. those are the actors that like almost, they're trying to not cry and it's coming through like that's great acting. Not right. the over crying. Like when you're a child actor and there's a crying scene in the script, they have the makeup artist, there's this menthol thing that they blow into your eyes to make you cry. I don't know if they do this anymore, if this is like against child labor laws. But you actually tear up when you're a kid. So I can always clock it when it's like a fake menthol cry.
Oh, you know.
Oh, I know.
Wow. Anything else from your experience as a kid actor? Do you use any of that now?
Absolutely. What 100%.
Like, for example?
Well, I was trained from a very young age. I started working when I was 3. Which is, so I can't remember that. But I think it's this emotional accessibility mm-hmm. where when I was a little kid, you know, they would teach you how to cry, which you would think about your, let's say, dog dying. And they're saying this to a child, and then they blow this menthol stuff in your eyes. So you're accessing, like, this deep part of yourself. And so I think it just opened from a very young age. And so I really learned how to access that place.
Did you have to, over time, though, learn to protect it, to build a wall around it?
Yes.
When did you realize that was something you had to do to be able to survive?
Well, I'm not ashamed about the way I feel, but I'm often careful about who I share that intimacy with, because it's very intimate to be mm-hmm. kind of raw in front of someone. So, but at the same time, you know, you are, and cry it out.
And not everybody is careful or with people's feelings and emotions.
No.
Especially artists. Because some people just, not even, they're careless, I guess is the word.
We're artists. We're feelies. We feel stuff.
All the feels. You have Ringo Starr is on this album.
Yeah.
How'd you end up working with him?
As a solo artist, part of the process is putting together a band for each album. I'm not in a rock band with like four dudes, you know. Mm-hmm. So putting the band together for this album, I really wanted to work with just some of the guys that had played on my favorite songs that are still studio session musicians. Jim Keltner, who played on Imagine, mm-hmm. Don Was, Ben Montench from the Heartbreakers, great. Who I'd played with on my last record a little bit. So Ringo was sort of like, you know, if you build it, maybe Ringo will come. If you put together the killer band, then maybe if you ask Ringo, he'll come and play double drums.
And which track is he on?
He's on Red Bull and Hennessy with Jim Keltner. They played together the concert for Bangladesh, which is this amazing George Harrison, amazing show.
Yeah.
And he's on Heads Gonna Roll.
That's a great band.
Yeah.
That's a really, and Don Was is a great producer as well.
He produced Nick of Time, Bonnie Raitt's yeah. big album, which she was 40 at the time when that came out. Isn't that crazy
yeah.
to think
oh,
of?
Oh, I remember, yeah.
Because when I was a kid and it came out, I was like, wow, 40 seemed so far away. And yet here it is. Yes, here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are, Allison.
My guest is Jenny Lewis. Her new album is called On the Line. This is the question you've been asked, and I have to ask it about Ryan Adams. You know, he was accused of sexual misconduct by his ex-wife Mandy Moore and other women. This all came out right before your album came out. One, how has it been to have to deal with this question?
It's unfortunate. You know, it's a bummer. And it, you know, happened simultaneously. My album came out. So it's been a part of the dialogue, which is, you know, it is what it is. And that behavior is unacceptable. So what do you do?
When you thought about how you were going to react to it, I mean, people can do it through social media. You can do it one statement, and I'm not talking about it anymore. What did you decide was the best way to go forward?
Well, I talked to my friends and my my girlfriends, and I talked to my sister and my manager, and sort of as it was in a very heightened moment, we all talked about, you know, a statement which felt appropriate. And since then, you know, I've talked about it. But the important thing to me is to note that this is a part of my body of work. Mm-hmm. I'm an artist. I've been making records for a long time. And he is a part of the story, but he's not the whole story.
Let's take a listen to another track from On the Line. This one is called Wasted Youth. Let's take a listen.
I wasted my youth on a puppy.
I always find that sort of push and pull of just the great groove, the bop, and then the very serious lyrics. When you were writing this, were you going for that sort of contrast?
Well, it's funny, this lyric, people keep hearing it as I wasted my youth on a puppy. Which it's not about puppies. But it's also about poppies. And yeah, I think I write what I write, and I wrote this for someone who, a younger woman who was going through some hard times, mm-hmm. and still is, actually. And I wanted to kind of write a song from an older sister perspective, and just like a real tale. It's like a warning, but it's not about poppies specifically. Because there's a line in the bridge about Candy Crush, mm-hmm. which I think is just as dangerous as drugs. You know, it's just like a song about disconnect.
Well, I hope your friend is doing well. We'll send good vibes out to her.
Well, that's what songs do, hopefully. They send a little message, a little healing message.
You know, there's a biographical element on here. You've been very open about your mom, who had a troubled life, and your relationship with her. Where can we hear about that relationship on this record?
Well, you can hear it throughout my entire career as mm-hmm. a songwriter. I've been writing about her. I think the first song I wrote was about my dad, who wasn't around when I was growing up. And then the second song I wrote was about my mom. So they've really provided such inspiration. But on the line, the Little White Dove is in the center of the record. And I wrote that while visiting my mother in the hospital while she was dying. And we had the opportunity to be together and, I don't want to say reconcile, because I don't know if that's... It's not like a fantasy. You know, it's like mm-hmm. when these things happen, it's like more of a feeling. But so this song kind of speaks to that.
Let's take a little listen to A Little White Dove.
In the middle of love, on the little white dove, on the heroine.
My guest is Jenny Lewis. Her new album is called On the Line. You've been in the business a long time. What's better now? Let's be positive. What's better now in 2019 for a woman artist, for someone who does the work like you do, than it was 25 years ago?
I have found that women are connecting with other women in a different way. And that's the thing. When I walk into a room now, I feel like I'm looking around and kind of checking in with the other women in the room. Mm-hmm. And I think feminism, I mean, there's so many different layers to it. And there's this, the, Me Too movement and the post and how we live in the now. But I think the women working on their relationships with other women, with their mothers and their sisters, and being there with mm-hmm. my mother, having not, we were estranged for 20 years. It was like the most like feminine
wow.
thing. It was like the most beautiful moment and connecting with my girlfriends. And so I really feel that in the business world as well. Like I went to this Live Nation like female promoter event. Like these women have been booking my shows for years. I'd never met them. Years. And we're in the room together. And it's like, hey, great. Great job.
So cool to actually get to meet the people who have been helping
yeah.
build your career, that you know, the people that you didn't have faces for.
But those events wouldn't have existed 20 years ago.
Right, right. Touring, what's the touring plan?
Touring, well, I'm touring. They have me touring till I'm 50, apparently, on this album. So see you out there. See you in Toledo.
But you are coming to New York in the fall?
Oh, yes,
fall?
I am.
Did
yes.
I make that up or did I, yeah.
October-y. At the King's Theater in Brooklyn. I'm very excited.
Cool. And what does the setup look like?
Well, I haven't been there yet, but apparently it's very theatrical.
No, I mean your set. Like,
oh, my setup.
Who are your people? Who's coming with you?
I have a band, an amazing band. We are a five-piece. And we, you know, we're playing the album, but we're also playing some deep cuts.
Oh, right on.
And some indie hits from the past.
Why do you laugh when you say that?
Well, an indie hit is different than like an actual hit. It's kind of like, you know, it's a hit among our peers.
It's a critic's darling. One of those?
Yeah.
Something like that. Oh, Cracker Jack Producers on Team Olivet, October 24th. That is when we will see you again.
Thank you. Yes.
Jenny Lewis, it was a pleasure to meet you in real life.
Yeah, lovely chatting with you. And I'm a fan of your work.
I'm a fan.
And I've been watching you for a long time, so lovely to see you here.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
The name of the album is On the Line. Coming up next, a look at the 45th Annual Newark Museum Black Film Festival. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.